All right, welcome back to the Creation Liberty Podcast. This is show number 65, I believe, for, what is today? Today is April 11th, 2014. My name is Chris Johnson, the founder of Creation Liberty Evangelism, where our purpose is to win the lost to Christ and to teach the truth of God's Word and science. We believe God's Word is the authority over mankind, we believe in the young earth creation account the Bible teaches, and we believe that evolution, as it's taught in the public schools of America today, is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of mankind. And if you want to learn more about that, you can check us out at creationliberty.com. Well, today's topic is going to be over rational thinking between atheists and Christians today, and we have our guest Floyd from Pennsylvania who's joining us. Floyd, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show.
I appreciate you taking the time for it, and it's really been nice to talk to you. Your demeanor has been so pleasant, and you know, in my position of what I do here, I don't get that a whole lot, so I really appreciate that from you.
Thank you.
Anyhow, why don't you take a moment, tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I was born and raised in Pennsylvania. I was raised a Presbyterian. My family's church is a member of the Presbyterian Church USA. Which is a mainline Protestant denomination from the Reformed tradition. The PCUSA is probably considered by most to be a more liberal branch of the Presbyterian denomination. And there have been several split-offs of the Presbyterian denomination, more conservative, Calvinist, and the mainline, which my family belonged to.
Okay. And I take it that you don't hold that belief today.
No, I don't. I went from a liberal Christian to being exposed to fundamentalism. I had a very strong reaction against it, and eventually led me to atheism. I admit, since a very young age, I've always had questions and doubts with Christianity. I remember in Sunday school, I was very puzzled by why weren't these stories taught in regular school? Why is this a separate school? I didn't comprehend that. If it was true, it should be taught everywhere, I felt. It was very, very strange, I thought. And my skepticism simply grew over the years. And now I'm at the state now where... I basically have rejected Christianity.
Okay. So we've established that you're an atheist. Would you say, just out of curiosity, would you say that you are a materialist? That ascribes to materialism? I've never met an atheist who hasn't. I was curious if that's also your position.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hold to metaphysical naturalism or materialism. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe all humans are fallible and are not all-knowing. So there could be plenty of supernatural beings out there, but I have no reason to think so.
Okay, so you're not necessarily closed off to the existence of a supernatural being. You're just closed off to the idea of the Christian God of the Bible. Is that correct?
That would be a good representation, yes.
Okay.
If I had to say I don't believe in a certain God, it would certainly be the Christian God. And of course, I wouldn't believe in Zeus and Thor and those other gods as well as most people today wouldn't. But I think it's typical, depending on what culture you're in, you're exposed to one specific God, and that's basically where you make your judgments off of.
Okay. So as an atheist, I guess to get into down to our topic, as an atheist, do you believe that there are laws of logic?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
In your opinion, would you say that atheism is logical or illogical?
Well, when it comes to rationality, I think the proposition of God exists or God does not exist by themselves are not rational nor irrational. Just those statements alone does not establish if they're rational or irrational. To establish that they are rational or irrational, you would need to look at the reasons behind holding that position.
So that is kind of the point of the question, I think. You're getting there, because when I'm asking if atheism... If you believe that that is logical or illogical, of course you must use the laws of logic to analyze something like that. So I guess I'd have to pose the same question again. Would the atheistic position, would that be logical? Would it apply to, do the laws of logic apply properly to the atheistic position or not?
The laws of logic apply to the atheism position.
Maybe I didn't phrase that properly. Let me rephrase that here. Does atheism align with proper laws of logic, would you say?
I see no logical contradiction in atheism. That answers your question.
Okay, so if there's no logical contradiction, then atheism itself would be logical then, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. In your opinion, then, is Christianity logical or illogical?
Well, again, you have to form a logical syllogism and analyze it.
Saying you have to explain all aspects of it right now, but since I took it that when you asked us to be on the show that you were someone that had studied this matter for some time and that you had gone over the different aspects of these things. So I'm assuming that you were educated on those issues, and so you had come to some conclusion, and I was wondering what your conclusion is. I mean, we'll discuss the details of these things.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, if you want to talk about my conclusions, that's fine. Yeah. I find a lot of the truth claims that Orthodox Christians make seem to be logically unsound.
Okay, so in essence, then Christianity would be illogical.
I guess if you need to lump it all together, I guess for simplicity's sake, I guess you can say yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to establish your position here, so I understand clearly.
I'm just not trying to be, broad and
exactly
a wide sweep.
I understand that, and we can go through and discuss some of the details of this. Would you, I guess, I'm not sure exactly which, because there's a bunch of places we can start here, but I guess I would have to have you define what you would say a law of logic is.
Logicians really don't use that language, law of logic. They use, inferences and so forth, like that. If you want to deal with classical logic, you can talk about standard rules of inference there, such as modus ponens, modus tollens, and so forth. Or you could talk about some of the axioms of classical logic, like law of identity, law of non-contradiction, and so forth.
Law of identity, which would mean understanding oneself as one's identity, and then, law of non-contradiction, meaning, the car can't be parked in the parking lot and not in the parking lot at the same time, that kind of thing. Did you say those were axioms?
Right, correct, yes.
Would you define for us what an axiom is?
An axiom is a pragmatic starting point to build arguments off of.
So it's a pragmatic starting point. Because I like to be able to define things for our audience to make sure they understand everything that's being talked about here.
Sure.
Pragmatic would be, is similar to, say, a practical starting point. Would you agree?
Yes.
So an axiom, you said, would be a practical starting point. So then, therefore...
Some sets of logic don't even have axioms.
Okay.
But I think we're talking about classical logic at this point, right?
So would you say then the laws of logic are basically conventions?
Yes and no. We certainly, we observe identities in the universe. We'll see a car, we'll see a ball, we'll see a hammer and so forth. From that, we conceptualize the identity of those things.
Logic
is basically constrained with our language as well.
Okay, so it's that's what you were describing, axiom. You said it's based on our language, or and that kind of thing. So when I say convention, because the definition of a convention for everybody else that's listening would be a formal agreement or custom based and axiomatically would be based on, you know, a formal agreement of custom at a, you know, for a particular society at any particular point in time or place. So if let's say that I, you know, because I, you grew up in Pennsylvania, I grew up in Indiana, how would you know if two people had different opposing views of logic, how would you determine if one was correct or not?
Well, that would be based of the logical standard you're using, right? If one's using modal logic,
wait a second,
classic logic, well,
I'm sorry, that was begging the question.
You're not going to be able to come to an agreement. You have to start, you know, you have to start with the axioms of the paradigm you're using.
Yeah, but that's, you just begged the question. When I ask, how would you tell the difference if you had two people that you know, like you said, or wait a second, maybe you're saying that you have to first agree on a particular, is that what you're saying? You have to agree on one particular set of rules? Is that what you're saying?
Right. I mean,
okay.
Making the question based on what logic?
You seem to
be applying that there's only classical logic.
So then the question would be, how would you tell the difference whether one set of rules was correct and one was not?
That'd be based on the rules of logic you're using.
So basically, the rules of logic that you're using are proven to be logical based on the rules of logic you're using. Is that what you're saying?
No. You can't.
That's what I just heard.
You can't use logic to validate logic.
I agree with you, but that's why I was really shocked that was your response to that, because that's exactly what you responded.
No, I was referring to different forms of logic, not validating logic with that logic. It's a difference.
Different forms of logic, what do you mean?
Well, are you familiar with the different forms of logic?
Well, I mean, you can... I'm just asking you on a basic level on how you would tell the difference between one person being logical and another person being logical from the atheist worldview that you ascribe to.
Well, I don't think it matters if you're a theist or an atheist. It's based on the rules of logic.
So the laws of logic just exist then? Is that your response to that?
No, we're talking about different disciplines of logic, different laws of logic. There's different types of logic. Mm-hmm. I think there's more than classical Aristotle, classical logic based on what Aristotle developed. There's first order logic, there's first order predicate logic, there's second order predicate logic, there's modal logic, there's fuzzy logic. Logic isn't one end.
Okay, so how did you verify that there were multiple forms of logic?
Verified?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just made a statement that logic cannot justify itself. So what I'm asking is, how did you even verify that there were multiple forms of logic?
They were developed. I mean, they're separate from each other.
So they're just there? That's your response to that?
Oh, no.
Okay, so I would have to go back to my original question. How did you verify there were multiple forms of logic?
By using their axioms. Or sets or the laws within them.
So you use the axiomatic, which axiomatic would be the pragmatic starting point or the practical starting point that you use from. How do you know the point that you're starting from is logical?
Presuppose that.
Okay, so this is a presupposition. So you're presupposing logic first.
Right, yeah. I'm presupposing the validity of logic.
Okay, so in order to presuppose the existence of something, would you say that's a logical claim to presuppose the existence of something like that?
No, they're not derived, so no, they're not logical.
Wait a second. You just said that your position is not logical.
No, presuppositions are not logically justified. That's correct.
So then when you said that atheism earlier is logical, that wasn't true?
No, but based on those presuppositions, it is logical.
Based on the so within your atheist presupposition, you're saying that the laws of logic are logical within the atheist presupposition, correct?
Correct. Yeah, within my ontology, it's logically consistent. Now, okay. if you ask me how I know or how do I logically justify my presuppositions, I'll simply concede that I can't.
Could you state that one more time for me? I didn't catch that.
If you ask me to logically justify my presuppositions, I simply say I cannot.
Okay, I can.
Oh, okay, well, I'd love to hear your argument.
Well, sure.
How do you justify your presuppositions?
Well, my presupposition, there is an all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient God who created everyone, who knows all the thoughts of mankind, knows all the hearts of mankind, and the laws of logic are a reflection of his character and the thoughts that the way that God thinks and expects us to think.
Right, so your ontology justifies your epistemology, correct?
Well, could you define those two terms for me?
Okay, well, epistemology is a branch in philosophy that deals with knowledge. It talks about what is knowledge, what do we consider as knowledge, how can we know things.
Mm-hmm.
Ontology deals with existence, what it means to be a being, to exist, to have nature, and so forth. So basically, when you say you have an ontology, it's those things that exist within your worldview.
So the things that exist within our worldview, it depends on what you mean by that. But before we get to that,
all-knowing, all-powerful God, correct?
Well, say that again, I'm sorry.
So in your ontology, you have an all-knowing, all-powerful God.
That is my presupposition, yes.
Right.
And
right.
So from this presupposition, and I want to point out something, I do have an explanation. I can justify those things, but you just stated from your atheist worldview that you can't.
Well, yes, and that's not why I asked. I asked you for you to justify your presupposition.
Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, when you said atheism is logical and Christianity is illogical, that means the exact opposite is the truth.
No, I don't see that. I see we both have presuppositions that we can't justify.
Oh, you don't accept my presupposition, which is fine. You don't accept that my presupposition is justified, but that doesn't mean it isn't. It doesn't mean I don't have an explanation, a justification for the laws of logic. I do.
No.
They don't help your atheist worldview.
I'm asking you to justify your presuppositions. If you want me to the laws of logic, within my ontology, I can do that.
You just said that you can't. You just a moment ago said that you can't, and now you're saying you can. I'd like to hear that.
I can't justify my presuppositions, and I'm saying you can't justify your presuppositions either. I can justify the laws of logic and so forth.
Sure. Then I misunderstood. If you can justify the laws of logic, I'd like to hear how you're doing that. Sure.
Sure. So, let's say someone asks you, what makes a stallion only a male horse? Now you would say, well, that person's confused. A stallion is what we mean.
Oh no, actually, that wouldn't be my answer. I mean, you can put words in my mouth, but that wouldn't be my answer.
Well, okay. Go ahead. What would make all stallions male? In your words,
my answer to that would be this is a red herring, because you're using logic to interpret that. You're trying to use logic to justify the laws of logic, and you can't do that. You just said earlier that that's impossible. You can't do that. So you're going to have to approach this in a different way.
No. I'm saying you cannot. Yeah, you cannot justify the laws of logic with laws of logic. That's circular reasoning.
No, I agree. So your question is actually a red herring.
Presupposition is the validity of logic.
Yes, so you're saying that logic exists because it exists, I guess? Is that?
No, it's based off of its rules. It's like the law of identity. It's based on words like and, not, or, things like that.
And you know that because you're using the laws of logic to analyze that.
No, I'm not using the law of logic when I use the word and, not, and so forth, things like that. I'm not applying any inference rules to those terms.
All rules of language, anything along those lines, must be interpreted by the laws of logic. That's why I said initially your question about what makes a stallion a male horse. Well, that's again, it's a red herring, because you're using the laws of logic to analyze the question, just as you're using the laws of logic to analyze language. So you're just simply saying that the laws of logic are there and that you have no other option but to use those. As like you said, they're axiomatic. You have to have a practical starting point somewhere.
That's one of my starting points.
Well, there's something I'd like to state about that, if you don't mind. What the fact that you must start with those preset rules, that you have no choice, actually proves what you're doing is approaching logic from the Christian theistic point of view, but then denying the very source of where that comes from.
Well, I didn't see you offer an account of the laws of logic.
Oh, I did. I just did just a minute ago. Now, you didn't accept helpful to you.
The laws of logic reflect the character of your God, correct?
That's right. It reflects the character and the thinking of the Christian God of the Bible, yes.
Okay, how exactly does logic reflect the character of God? Can you tell me how exactly?
How it reflects the thinking and character of God?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by your question.
Well, can you specify how logic reflects his character? How does it do that?
Well, he designed the brain, and he designed all logic in the brain. The laws of logic are rules of a reflection of the thought processes of our brain, the way they are supposed to work. That's why everybody in the world has to adhere to the same logical rules.
So the way our brains are designed, correct?
Yeah. You see, and you can't, from an atheistic worldview, the laws of logic, as you stated earlier, would have to have been developed, meaning they're coming from the brain. Well, the brain can't justify the brain, because to analyze the brain, you need the laws of logic. So the Christian theistic position is far superior in that it has an explanation and justification for the laws of logic, whereas the atheist worldview doesn't.
Oh, I can offer explanation, no problem at all. I can offer deductive syllogism that validates the law of logic without any issue.
Okay, let's hear this.
All right, great. Well, if there were no brains with reliable belief-forming mechanisms, then there would be no logic. Logic exists. Therefore, we have brains with belief-forming mechanisms structured by evolution.
So just to clarify, if every human being died today, logic would no longer exist?
Logic can no longer be applied, correct.
So logic, laws of logic, come from laws of logic.
Laws of logic come from the laws of logic.
That would be the end result of that argument. Because as soon as you state that the laws of logic are, because you said they were developed from evolutionary means, is that correct? They came about through that.
Oh, No. Our brains came from evolutionary means.
Okay.
Our brains were made to think that way.
Okay, I understand.
You said your God created our brains. Now mm-hmm. I'm saying, well, my ontology, evolution created our brains.
Okay, and your brain.
So I understand the difference.
So when your brain is analyzing, is using the laws of logic to say that the laws of logic exist, do you not see the circular problem with that? You're saying my brain justifies my brain.
I'm not justifying laws of logic.
You just said that you could give a justification for them. That's why you started this explanation.
No, I can explain where they come from.
Yeah, but how do you know that's where they came from, is my question.
I didn't say that. I could account for their validity.
Because let's say that evolution.
I still don't see how you validate the validity of logic.
Well, I already explained that. It just wasn't helpful to your atheist worldview.
Well, what I was going to say, your God is logical, right? Well, that's circular reasoning.
No, it's not saying that God is logical. God is the source of logic. He is all logic. There is no source outside of it.
So your God isn't logical?
God created the laws of logic for the purpose of mankind to use them. That's like saying, well, are you saying
So it doesn't reflect your nature, his nature.
Yes, it does reflect his nature.
All right, so your God's nature is logical, right?
The nature of God, from our human perspective, I would say the nature of God is logical. But it would actually be approaching it almost from the wrong perspective, because to say God is logical is to open up an argument to say, can I finish? Is that all right?
Begging the question, that's circular reasoning.
Are you going to let me finish, or...?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So to say God is logical would be to open up a question of whether or not God is logical, or that the possibility that he can be illogical. Okay, in order to analyze that, you would then first have to verify your own personal laws of logic outside of God, which is what you've been attempting to do all this show, and we haven't heard anything coming but circular reasoning so far.
No, I don't try to justify the validity of logic. It's part of my presupposition.
Okay, well, let's presuppose your evolutionary worldview that brought about the brain, okay? And you said the brain did develop these laws of logic. And then what you did was turn around as an atheist and said, the laws of logic has verified that my position is correct. So what you did is you used your brain to verify the thoughts of your brain. I know you don't accept that, but that's exactly the logical ending to that position.
No, I'm assuming the validity of logic, and from that I use logic.
I know you're assuming the validity of logic.
Circular.
It's circular because you said the logic is coming from your brain, and you're using logic to verify your brain. My brain justifies my brain. That's your position.
I don't justify my brain. I justify arguments with logic.
Well, you said earlier that you were trying to justify where the laws of logic are even coming from because they don't verify themselves.
The
you said that.
Uses logic. Whether an argument, the question is a logical argument valid or not? Not my brain. But the brain is not logical or illogical. It simply just functions.
It simply just functions. If that were the case...
It's like saying, is the digestion of my stomach valid or not? Either functions as a digestive agent or it doesn't.
So you said the brain is not logical or illogical?
Arguments are.
Arguments are logical or illogical. Where do arguments come from?
They come from thinking minds, of course.
They come from the brain. I know you were trying to avoid using that word at that point because you realize how silly that sounds. You know it. And you know that's going to sound silly to the rest of the audience, too.
Where else do arguments come from than brains? Where else would they come from?
Exactly. And so you're using your brain to justify your brain.
No, I'm using my brain to form arguments.
Exactly. And you said the brain is not logical or illogical. You said arguments are illogical or logical or illogical, and you're using your brain to form the arguments. The source of all this is coming from your brain. It's a really simple concept.
Right. Well, again, I assume the validity of logic.
So logic is there just because it exists. And if you're going to accept that, then you would also have to accept it would be logical to say God exists because he exists.
That would be your presupposition.
Exactly. See, but you're forced into presupposing the laws of logic because without them, you couldn't have basic conversations, you couldn't do science, math, anything. You must rely on the laws of logic.
I'm presupposing much more. I can give you a list of all the things.
So the presuppositions that you actually have are the Christian theistic approach to logic, not the atheistic approach to logic.
Well, I need to hear an argument. How do you know you're not bringing it back? And the mad scientist put the concept of the Christian God in your brain. How would you know that?
Yeah, so you're asking, like, how do I know that I didn't come into existence like 5 seconds ago with all my thoughts and everything put in my head?
Right, correct. Yeah, how would you know that?
Exactly, because the presupposition is there is an all-powerful eternal God outside of time, and he has revealed himself to us in his word and verified those things for us. Now, I would return that same question to the atheist. How do you know that you didn't come into existence 15 seconds ago before I started this explanation?
Oh, because of evolutionary reliableness.
Could you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Through the evolutionary process, it developed reliable brains.
But, you see, that would be one of the... You see, if you came into existence, let's say 30 seconds ago, and had all your memories and everything that's in your brain implanted into it, and you came into existence 30 seconds ago, what you're doing is you're using everything that was implanted in your brain to verify that you didn't come into existence 30 seconds ago.
Right, right. I could have come in 30 seconds ago.
And you don't see the circularity in that? Did you not see the circularity in what you just said?
Yeah, I'm not trying to justify my presuppositions. You think you can justify your presuppositions?
This isn't about justifying presuppositions. You asked me a question about knowledge, and I gave you an answer. But you see, the atheist worldview doesn't have an answer.
I gave you an answer.
I know, and it was completely circular and arbitrary.
What you're doing is you're justifying your epistemology with your ontology, but for me, you require that I justify my epistemology with my epistemology. Now, that is circular.
But that's what you're doing.
Standard here. You're using your ontology to verify your epistemology. But for me, no. You're requiring me to justify my ontology with my epistemology. Yeah, and that's viciously circular. But
you do not believe that you...
That's the issue.
So to verify, so everybody can follow along what's going on here, epistemology, again, is you know, how can we know things, claims to knowledge.
Right. What is knowledge?
What you just told everyone, me and everyone else listening, is that you did not use your knowledge to verify your knowledge. Is that correct? That's what I just heard a moment ago.
Yeah, I'm using my presuppositions of my ontology to state where to account for my knowledge.
So you are not using knowledge to verify knowledge. Is that correct?
I'm relying on my presuppositions.
Okay, so when you said that evolution has developed the brain develops arguments, and so your arguments are then determined whether to be logical or illogical, you're then using your brain to come up with those arguments. You are using knowledge to verify your knowledge.
No, I'm using my brain.
Okay, well, yeah, exactly. That's what I just said. You know, I trust that the audience can see the circularity in this. I know you don't believe that you're doing this, but that's exactly what you're doing.
Again, is you're requiring me to justify my knowledge with my knowledge. You justify your knowledge by what? Your God, correct?
Yes, knowledge is justified by that, by the very Christian God of the Bible.
I'm justifying my knowledge through the evolutionary reliableism. So again, you're relying on your ontology to justify knowledge. I'm relying on my ontology to justify knowledge.
No, you're relying on the knowledge base that you've gained to determine the knowledge base you've gained, because that's how you gained a knowledge you claim through evolution.
Do you have the knowledge that your God exists?
Yes.
Oh, so you're using your knowledge to justify your knowledge that your God exists.
No, that's God, it's a presupposition, and God provided evidence for it at the same time.
Okay, we'll put evidence. Okay, great. What's your evidence for your God?
Oh, that's irrelevant to this. That's irrelevant to the issue, because when you're talking about evidence for the God...
You can't justify your presupposition. You can't justify your ontology.
I don't use the Bible.
That I justify my ontology.
I don't use the Bible.
Do you see a double standard there?
I don't use the Bible outside of a worldview in which it makes sense and would be taken as true. If you're asking, is there something that you would accept, you know, based on my worldview, my explanations that you would accept, that again depends on what your presuppositions are. And when you're using your knowledge to verify your knowledge, I can't do that, because it's hopelessly circular.
But you're using your knowledge to validate your knowledge as well.
No, this knowledge has been revealed to us. That's the difference. Well, I'm not verifying it. I'm going to an outside source. You are going to knowledge itself to say that, yes, my brain is valid because my brain validated it.
No, I'm an externalist as well.
Okay, so how can you justify then If the laws of logic, which would be universal, unchanging, and abstract, how would you justify those to exist in an atheist worldview?
I think what we need to do is talk about the concepts of knowledge and the difference between internalism and externalism views of knowledge. A internalist view of knowledge is that to know something, you need to know that you know. It's called the KK principle in philosophy. And that's what you seem to be asserting for me, that for me to know something, I need to know that I know. And that just begs the question, well, if you know that you know, well, how do you know that you know that you know? And that goes into an infinite regress, and that's the problem. A lot of epistemologists reject internalism. Now, you rely, as well as me, on an externalist view of knowledge, where the source of the justification is real, but you don't necessarily have to be aware of it or know it. And both Christian and non-Christian epistemologists, many of them take that view. And I can give you examples. If you one example is Alvin Plantinga. He's an externalist. He's a reliabilist. Same with John Frame. John Frame is a presuppositional apologist and a Calvinistic theologian, and he clearly states that that you can know things because your God revealed them, but you don't necessarily have to know how your God revealed them. And I can offer you a direct quote from John Frame if you're interested. This is from his.
Oh, go ahead.
His paper. Let me see. It is from his paper called "Presuppositional Apologetics: An Introduction." He says, "Mysterious though the process may be, somehow God illumines the human mind to discern the divine source of the word. We know without knowing how we know." All right. So that's an externalist definition of an externalist justification of knowledge.
Now, my definition of that would be to call it transcendental, meaning that it's beyond ordinary human experience, thoughts, or beliefs.
Right, but it's external to you, right?
It has to go outside of human experience.
It's external from you.
Outside of human experience, outside of human thought, outside of human belief. Now, the reason we got confused here is because earlier I asked you if every human being on the planet died today, you said logic would no longer exist. That means you put logic into a materialistic viewpoint, and that's why I wanted to know how you can justify, from an atheist worldview, universal, invariant, abstract entities like the laws of logic. And we're not going to hear one, I'll tell you that.
Well,
that's never been done by atheists.
No, the laws of logic are conceptual. If you have no minds to use concepts, where would logic be? And you think, are you like a Platonist, and you think laws of logic, like numbers and so forth, are in some sort of Platonic realm?
The laws of logic will exist whether the human mind exists or not.
And where would they exist?
Again, there is a Christian God of the Bible, and they are a reflection of his character. He designed the brain to think in these ways.
So laws of logic would exist within his mind, correct?
The laws of logic are a reflection of his very character. If you're wanting me to describe God in detail, I don't know that I can do that, because I can't fit the Christian God of the Bible in my 3-pound brain. If I could, he wouldn't be worth worshiping, that'd be for sure. My question to the atheist is that if you want to believe that logic only exists in your brain, you see, what you're really contradicting yourself. You can't say that you believe that logic is beyond mankind's brain and in mankind's brain at the same time. You've made two different arguments here, and I don't know which one you're trying to stick with.
No, I don't see that. Laws of logic are conceptual, right? Concepts only exist within minds. So if you have no minds, where do concepts exist?
Which is exactly my point earlier, that you're using your brain to justify your brain. That's hopelessly circular.
I'm not trying to justify logic. It's a presupposition, so I don't know why you keep saying that
exactly.
You justify logic.
And when you presuppose logic, you're presupposing, you're approaching that. That is the Christian theistic approach to knowledge, to logic, to truth. And you're borrowing that.
So only Christians are allowed to have presuppositions?
No, that is absolutely not true. But you've got to be able to give some sort of justification for the knowledge you have. And you haven't been able to do that yet.
Justification for knowledge.
Yeah.
So you're back to asking me to use my epistemology to justify my epistemology, where you're using your ontology to justify your epistemology.
No, I'm not asking you to take the knowledge claims. Listen, I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you to take knowledge claims and verify knowledge claims. I'm asking you not to do that. I'm asking you to stop doing that. I want to find out how you are verifying that you can even know anything for certain. Because we haven't really heard anything, but my brain tells me that I'm logical.
Define certain.
I'm sorry?
What do you mean by certain? Define certain.
Well, knowledge itself would have to be certain. I mean, you have to know something.
Well, that's what I'm asking you to define. What do you mean by certain?
That means you can be... I guess I don't want to use the word to define itself. So let's go back to the definition of knowledge then and say that it's justified true belief.
All right, that's one definition of knowledge. That's not the definition, but proceed.
Well, if I were to say that Elvis Presley is the current president of the United States, would that be knowledge?
Assuming it was false, no, of course not.
So that would not be knowledge. Okay, so
right.
Therefore we don't have... knowledge has to have a certain amount of justification to it. Is that correct?
In a sense, it depends on your definition of knowledge. You know, if you're using justified true belief, mm-hmm. I could use a different definition. But for the sake of this argument, go ahead, yes.
Okay, so if you're going to say that something is in existence without justifying its existence first, well, I'm trying to figure out from the atheist worldview how you can possibly do that. Because if you can't really justify the laws of logic to exist, why would... because all that laws of logic are used to analyze all knowledge claims, including the knowledge claim of okay, Elvis Presley is our current president. We know that's not true because
you're saying I need to justify the laws of logic with the laws of logic, correct?
That is not. I'm asking correct. You to stop doing that.
Right. But I've been saying all along that you can't do that. That is circular. So I don't try to justify that.
You don't try to justify the laws of logic then.
I still understand how you justify the laws. You said logic is part of the character of God, and God is logical, correct? But that's circular reasoning.
So the atheist...
That assumes that logic is valid.
The only way you can make a claim against me on circular reasoning is you first would have to justify the laws of logic, which you say you refuse to do, so all you're doing is giving your arbitrary opinion, and this discussion's over.
Right, I don't see how you justify the laws of logic.
I've explained it multiple times. The problem is you don't accept it because it doesn't help your worldview.
I don't see why I need to. I don't see why I need to account for the laws of logic to use it.
let me give you an example. I want to hone in on what you just said.
Let's say a lightning bolt.
Floyd, I want to hone in on what you just said. Would you please go back and state that again, real quick? You don't see a reason you need to justify using the laws of logic. Did you just make that statement?
No.
You didn't just make that statement?
I'm saying it.
Would you like to retract it?
If I can't justify the laws of logic, that doesn't give you a license to say I can't question whether your arguments are logical enough. You know, I can say, okay, I'm going to borrow your worldview, and let's say I'm going to borrow your worldview, and now I can use logic to scrutinize your arguments. Right?
Why would you borrow my worldview when you said it was illogical from the very beginning?
I said certain claims within your worldview and logic. I think we both accept that the physical world exists, right?
That's based on using the laws of logic, which presupposes my worldview, not yours.
Well, why can't my presuppositions establish that?
Because you're presupposing the Christian God of the Bible before you've even begun to analyze the situation. When you use laws of logic, you're taking the Christian theistic approach to the logical. Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. For you to think your God exists, you need to presuppose a lot more before that. What you're calling your presuppositions is nothing more than your theological dogmas. And they're not psychologically prior. They're not self-evident. You have to borrow from my presuppositions to even establish your God exists.
I'm sorry. Some of my
presuppositions. Okay.
Okay.
And,
go ahead.
And there are some philosophers called properly basic beliefs. And the first one is that. There exists a mind-independent reality, that there's something outside of my mind. So basically, it's the opposite of solipsism, that, you know, there's a mind-independent reality, okay? And then
which is the opposite of your worldview, right?
Is that there are other minds beside my own. So when I'm talking to you, I assume that you have your own mind, or you're not a zombie, okay? Other things I presuppose, causation, for example. If I knock something onto the floor, I'm assuming it was actually caused. You know, there's a correlation there. I'm assuming that there actually was a cause that created that. Some events cause other events, you know, more than a causation. Okay, I'm presupposing a concept of truth. I'm presupposing my reliability of perception. I'm presupposing reliability of my memory. We talked about this before, that I'm presupposing that my memory isn't just, you know, what something got implanted to me 5 seconds ago. Another presupposition may be the concept of self and agency, that we can act in the real world. Now, for you to think that your God exists, you need to presuppose all those things that I just talked about.
Everything you just said, you presupposed the very materialistic position that you're taking, okay? You're presupposing, because everything you just said, you used logic to analyze it. Meaning that, I mean, are you as a person above and beyond your own brain? So you're presupposing your very existence based on your very existence. That's, you've got to provide something else besides that, or you're stuck in hopeless circularity.
No, I'm not justifying. You don't justify presuppositions.
No,
that's why they call it presuppositions.
To presuppose something, you're presupposing. Hold on.
You don't derive presuppositions. That's where you start with.
Wait, I know. You are absolutely right. But you can't even see what you're saying.
Why are you asking me to justify my presuppositions?
You can't even see what you're saying. You don't have to presuppose your brain, because it's there. The presupposition comes from something that you cannot justify with your senses. It's got to come out something outside of that. You're trying to use the materialistic world to justify the materialistic world, which basically means you're using your brain to justify your brain, which is what we've already covered about 100 times now.
I'm not justifying my brain at all. My presuppositions didn't even mention me actually having a physical brain. You're asking me to justify my presuppositions when presuppositions, you know, can't be derived. You don't use your reason to validate reason. Reason is the very ladder in which we stand to reach other conclusions.
Exactly. You said your reason comes from the arguments from your brain. And I'm sorry, that's just hopelessly circular.
No.
There's nothing I would ever accept.
No, the reasons are the arguments from my brain. You know, we shouldn't use our reasons to come to reasons. It's like you wouldn't use a ladder to reach the ladder that you're actually standing
but
on.
But that is exactly what you've done the entire podcast. And like I said, I trust the audience to see this for themselves.
You're asking me to justify my reason.
Mm-hmm. And you're using your reason to justify it.
No, I'm not.
Everything in that long speech you just gave us was using your reason to verify those things.
No, those are my suppositions.
Those are things that you use your reason to verify those things. So you're not going beyond human thoughts and experiences and beliefs, like the transcendental I was talking about. You're going within those things to verify those things.
I'm not verifying those things.
You're not, because it's hopelessly circular.
I said I can't. I can't justify my presuppositions.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you admitting that. From the Christian worldview, I can't.
I said that at the beginning of the hour.
You said it earlier, about midway through, yeah. And I remember you saying that, and I appreciate you admitting that, because from a Christian presupposition, I can. So that's the difference. So if you're going to call Christianity illogical, you have to have a...
Justify the existence of your God. How do you know you're not a brain in the bat? How do you know
that there is
a mind-independent reality?
I already answered those questions. You just don't accept them. And here we are. We're going around in circles at this point. So I think our discussion's basically over. Would you like to advertise at least your organization we talked about earlier? Would you like to plug that? We mentioned that before the show. Would you like to take a couple minutes and promote what your organization you were talking about?
Yes, thank you. I'm a member of the New Covenant Group. It's an internet presence. We have daily shows, weekly shows, I'd say, which basically brings atheists and theists together to have respectful and instructive dialogue.
Okay, and where would they find that at? Is there a website for that?
Yeah, you can Google the New Covenant Group. Okay. We have a Facebook presence.
Do you have a YouTube channel for that?
Yes, there is a YouTube channel.
And what's the channel name for that?
If you just Google New Covenant Group, it's newcovenantgroup.com. There's a YouTube channel.
Okay, newcovenantgroup.com. And the YouTube channel, do you know the channel name for that?
Let me look it up real quick.
Sure.
New Covenant Group. Yeah, it's The New Covenant Group. All one word for YouTube.
The, like T-H-E, The New Covenant Group?
Yes.
Okay. Well, fantastic.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Chris.
And, well, I appreciate you coming.
Maybe we can have you on a show on the New Covenant Group.
Well, sure, yeah. If you invite me, I'd be happy to do so. So, anyway, I really appreciate you coming on, and you've been very pleasant, even though I know we can always get frustrated with one another and that kind of thing. I appreciate your courtesy and all that. It was very, very wonderful to talk to you.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having
me on. Thanks, Floyd. You have a nice evening, okay?
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, folks, well, that'll be the end of the show for today. Well, go ahead and post your comments on this is going to be on the YouTube channel. Go ahead and post your comments down there if you have any. As you can see, I mean, basically, he had to use, there was nothing he could verify the thoughts of his brain with except using the thoughts of his brain, things he's experienced and that kind of thing. So that was the only option he had, was to come to that point. And that's why, you know, I keep telling atheists, there's no one that's going to be able to. No atheist is going to be able to justify universal, unchanging, abstract entities in an atheistic worldview. Those entities are like the laws of logic, being transcendental, meaning they go beyond human thought, human experience, human reason. But what he was doing was using human reason, human thought, human experience, in order to verify human reason, human thought, and human experience. And he can't do that. Again, that's hopelessly circular. So the bottom line is, you know, for those of you watching, and any Christians that are out there listening to this too, one of the main points that needs to be made here is that we are all guilty. before a holy and righteous God, and there is none that doeth good, not vertically, the Bible says. No, there's none that doeth good towards God, not one, and we are all guilty of breaking his laws, and the Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, but after this the judgment. Atheists out there, if you believe you're not going to be judged by the very God you don't believe in, think again, because you're going to have to be. So anyway, go ahead and leave your comments at the bottom and tell us what you thought about that. And hopefully we'll have some more of these. Again, we still have some atheists waiting in my inbox I have to get to for another week. So hopefully we'll have some more of these in the future. And thanks for all for joining us and listening to this whole thing. We'll see you next time.